Okay. Can you all hear me? Good.
Hi.
Hi, Celeste. Okay. Thanks, Joan, for inviting me. Up until a week ago, I lived with three cats for the last 18 years, and the last one died. I've had a series of them passing on in the last year. So this is an elegy for the first one, but I'm dedicating it to all three. Magnolia Stellata for Iris. We called her Sex Cat because she'd stare from the foot of the bed at our movements. Feline weirdo, furry voyeur, emotions cat, we'd say, when she'd seek us, sitting on the kitchen floor in some angsty marital disarray. We said she was clever, anxious, clear escapee from some university lab. Karmic frustration, we wondered what sorry human she'd been in which before life, and what it must feel like to be trapped inside a soft, gray body, far too small to house such enormous sentience. Your Majesty. After she's gone, we take the kids to Phipps because we need to breathe air drenched with hyacinth and lilac. Inside the glass house, it's always spring, but the bonsai garden's still undercover, and the Magnolia Stellata is just beginning to bud silver gray into this Pittsburgh chill. Touch one, I tell my son, and we both stroke, then stop, shocked. It feels like Iris, he says. And I nod, because it does. Some woo-woo website tells us magnolia flowers reduce anxiety and have a calming effect, and we laugh to think of our nervous wreck cat following me around the house, climbing onto my chest while I try to nap, her face and breath as close as she can get them to my own. The Chinese associate them with life force, it says, and keep them present at births. This is better, we say. And Rudy, the child whose own births usurped her position of primacy, goes on musing about where Iris went. She's a snow leopard, a boy lion maned. New human baby, an alien-bodied creature now galaxies away. Or domestic short-hair house cat, plain and common still, again. Reincarnation's his comfort, and maybe mine today, too. But why animal at all, we wonder? Why not lightning or hot flash, goose flesh or salt lake or sea? Why not flowering tree? We pet the silky coat of the star magnolia, which has a way of enhancing psychic intuitions and energies, and I think, yep, she's here. Skittish soul, smart and missed, and almost flowering in this cloudy courtyard, small softness at the end of the barest limb and the thinnest breath. Thanks. So, Lisa, I totally understand the obsession with the parent thing. Yeah, mine is my father. And I also understand that this is the last poem I'll ever write about him. I thought I was done writing about my father a while ago, but that's foolish. So my dad died 25 years ago when he was 46 years old, and I am now 47 years old. So the last year and a half has been kind of, you know, intense existentially. So a lot of poems have come out of that. And here's one. Petunias. My father loved petunias, my mother tells me. I don't recall him enjoying them, but I'm not saying I doubt her either. Sorry. There are so many things I will never know. My father loved peonies. My mother doesn't need to remind me. I remember the black ants pouring thick off sweet pink petals, how I called what happened to his brain a tumor because it was easier than explaining how the mind can swirl and swell. My father's petunias, purple this year, spill over their own green bodies. My mother taught me to deadhead, pinch and pluck just below the bud so they grow stronger, reserve their strength, and stay contained. But one day I stopped tending the spent bits. I got busy and let go, exactly the way 24 years of gone has seeded itself into my dailiness, until suddenly I'm shocked by dry soil and woody stems, blossoms barely hanging on. I called what grew inside my father's skull a peony, pink and bursting, early up and quick to succumb to heat and hardier blooms, like petunias, yes, but irises, too. Those have always been my favorite. indigo spike straight up and piercing through. I like the sword metaphor. I plant them, when I remember, next to the crumbling steps. They spread rhizomatically, reaching outward, always, beneath everything else this garden may give. Thanks. More dead father poems, I'm sorry. Bonus year. I know something of superstition, Father. The family tree leafing with early death. Not just yours, but a favorite uncle, my young addict cousin, my grandfather, heart stopped on the kitchen floor at 50. Your grandmother, cared for by daughters after curious brain trauma. The pings and aches and twinges terrify me away from intellect. There's no real reason to believe I will die as young as you, I know. Still, I'm living my bonus year, one more than you were gifted. I will forever count up from 46. I am 3 days old, 2 weeks old. I am 8 months old today and feel you, Father, in my muscles, see you in every softening line of my face. Okay, let's move away from Father. this actually comes from an article that I read. I don't remember when I first encountered it, about golden orb weaver spiders in Madagascar, which are harvested by humans for their golden thread. They produce this amazing, very, very strong silk that it has a golden sheen to it, and it gets woven into these spectacular garments and tapestries. And I remember thinking that was horrific, the idea that they were imprisoned basically, and made to work for us. So this is a prose poem that came out of that recently. Golden Orb Weaver. No to the Madagascar rainy season, to the Malagasy girls dispatched after school to collect weavers by the hundreds in wooden baskets. No matter that was an earlier time, no to modern-day workers, the entrepreneurs who hunt them, pluck them from telephone poles in October. No to industry and experimentation, to habitats built for function and something like art. No to an art that arises from bondage. Yes, even of spiders, those detestable, venomous creatures you think, no, feel them to be. We already know what happens inside glass cages. They tend to bite each other's heads off. Sorry, no golden silk spun to tapestry for or from you. I don't have it in me to learn whether the head is even necessary for production. No, ma'am, I don't care for this knowledge, even in service of science. I don't want to imagine all 1 million of them, females, of course, captured and harnessed, attached tenderly to our human loom, rotated, unspooled, our collective terror. No also to the antique machines devised to imprison her by the throat. No, this is not exemplary docility. This is quite enough. It's called milking because the silk, stronger than Kevlar, begins as a rich liquid deep inside her horrifying body. Spider milk. Make yourself think about that. Remember your own breasts, massive and unyielding in the exhausted hours, that fire just below the thinnest skin. Remember the hot showers. Scientists did create humidity inside the weaver habitat, at least. The hours of expressing thin droplets, not even an ounce to fill one hungry mouth. But 1 million of us could have fed a nation, filled a rainforest. Just like our orb-weaving sisters, they churn their milk through spinnerets, rearranging proteins to create their golden thread. Did you hear me? Millions of spiders applying creative force, translating nutrition into thrift. They carry their own homes within them. They make their way. 4 years for one fine garment, not even to wear, just for decadent display. No, it doesn't matter how fast her silk regenerates, the gift that keeps on giving. Her gifts are not for you. Impenetrable, masterful web, silk that shifts color to amplify or vanish in midday sun. Bees know her, and even some birds. She's golden and gorgeous and awful, which, remember, also means filled with awe. That I should have said the quotes came from a number of articles that I read about it, where there's actually documentation of these like Victorian scientists who talked about these little shackles basically that they built for the spiders. So I don't like spiders, but I've been writing about them, I don't know, lately. Okay, I have two more poems. One is a little bit longer, so I'll start and then I'll end. Okay. I don't want to die when I'm 46. I don't. I imagine this negation like a prayer. Use it. It works the same way the flags in the breezeway do. Soft terror blowing through me, slipping past cilia. I imagine it fills my lungs like a thing to breathe or to stop breathing suddenly. They'll say peacefully or unexpectedly in my sleep. I don't want to know what's coming. I don't smoke, but last night I really wanted to bum a cigarette off the youth gathered around my fire pit. Who smokes anymore? They laughed and waved sticks, poked them at the coals. We ate carbonized sugar like children. I'd put mine to bed, gelatin fusing to our fingers, faces. Why did I invite them? Why did they come? What kind of hawk is that, roosting above the garage roof? We drink wine from plastic cups and play a game. What would you do with your life if you could, and what's stopping you? There are so many things I still don't understand. Tangles of cable, ports, how to plug things into other things, mycorrhizal networks, time zones, flight. If you unspool the human digestive tract, if you unravel the human circulatory system, if you unhook the bones, unfold the cerebellum, I don't want to die this year from a brain infection like my father did when he was 46, a thing I keep coming back to. The youth eating marshmallows have big plans. You can tell they've thought about them for a while. I'm worried that sounds glib or dismissive, when really it makes me feel hopeful and glad. Pass me that stick, will you? When I was their age, I had a roommate who would not eat chicken because she said their nervous systems were more complex than our own. I don't know. It never seemed a thing to think about. A mother swept from her own roof by floodwaters. Children who accidentally locked themselves in a car trunk, playing hide-and-seek in summer heat, the face of their father who found them. Guns, of course. Mondays, yesterday, days when I leave mine at school. Form a single line, children, next to the door that opens into the room. Turn off the lights. Quiet children, hungry suction of swimming pool drains, blood pooling around a boy's body, so many holes. The soft parts of the garage roof under curious feet. Rogue planet, my son is certain, is heading straight toward us. Boom. God, I love my children. I love them. What I do is make a praying shape with my hands and then aim them straight out from my pride-open eyes. Then my hands are diver hands so I can go deep down. See, my hands are curtains now, fluttering in front, and this is how it becomes possible to push all of it away from my face in sunlight or firelight, out toward the edges of recognition where it functions as a frame. I walk around like this every day, and I still don't want to die. What would you do with your life if you could? It's such a good question, and heat shimmer periphery, lips split laughing, mouth open pit, keep hiding, fire, keep children, you have to admire their optimism. And I do. So I answered, oh, IDK, LOL, dye my hair blue. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry to have been depressing. This is my last poem. The heart wants what it wants. Fireflies, for instance, scattering from wheat fields as we move through them, or gathering, dense as desire, as longing in the summer woods. How they lift and blink, a synchronous pulse, land on the damp inside of your wrist. One, two. There are people we meet who light us up in such a way that we believe we will flicker out of existence, snuffed, when they leave us. There's nothing to be done for it. We are not children with glass jars, which would be cruel in any case, and we are not cruel. But still, we can watch them float there like a sweet thought in some other sweet life, soft wing beat over the dusk creek. We can let them settle in our hand and consider for a moment their stuttering glow. On, off. They are so beautiful. We can hold them. We can also let them go. Thanks.